season kickstarter. Round one of the 2024 Fantasy Major League Rugby season is finally here. Fantasy drafts have taken place, teams are being finalized, and the road to a Fantasy MLR Championship in 2024 finally begins. On this week's episode of the Fantasy Rucker Show, we get you prepared for your Fantasy MLR journey this season. We also take a look at some fantasy draft trends that happened over the past week. We also have a big time announcement for more people who want to get a taste of Fantasy MLR this season, plus an update for our league members. The Fantasy Rucker Show starts right now.
Where rugby and the world of fantasy sports collide. Welcome to the Fantasy Rucker Show, bringing fantasy rugby to the masses, talking all things rugby from the MLR to leagues around the world. We're on top of it. Headphones on, pads off. This is the Fantasy Rucker Show. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Yee, Matt Yee, and Devin Vandepool.
What's up, everybody? This is episode number 97 of the Fantasy Rucker Show. Thank you so much to our Fantasy Ruckers community members, our Fantasy Rucker's league members, and everyone else tagging along on this journey of trying to make fantasy rugby a reality in the MLR. And draft week has gone and passed here, boys. Matt Yee, Devin Vandy Vandepool here with you. They are every single week. I am Ryan Yee. Boys, yeah. Had our live stream this past Friday.
Don't even matter.
Picked our teams. we're heading right into round one of the Major League Rugby season. Pretty crazy that it's already here.
Well, before we get into it, three episodes away from 100. That's pretty sweet.
100.
And two, Vandy, we wish you were here with us every week. Yeah. You're a clown.
That's right.
Well, we're working on it. I know the people, Vandy, love having you. They love the episodes even more when you're here on our show. So we're glad to hear to have you in this round one preview, the first one of many coming in this season, which is, again, pretty shocking, man. The offseason has flown by, and the fact that it's already here is really, really exciting. Fantasy MLR is starting to kick off full swing here. The road to bringing home that Fantasy MLR championship is right in the midst here, right about to kick off.
Yep. All the teams have been drafted, I believe, Ryan. All the leagues have drafted.
Yep, they're going through.
All the
through.
Leagues have been drafted.
Wow.
They're going through. Preseason's just finishing up. This is the last weekend without MLR 2024 rugby. So, well, there might be a holiday in there. But other than that, we don't have to go for it for a long time, which is I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we got a jam-packed episode in this one. Going to break down a little bit of the stuff that we saw from the drafts that took place. I know some leagues are just wrapping up their final rounds here. They've had their last couple slow draft rounds taking place over the past week or so. So we're going to have some interesting kind of tidbits from the week that was in terms of draft week here in Fantasy MLR. Nice. We're also going to obviously preview round one. This is the first of 17 rounds that we are going to be previewing here for the Fantasy MLR season. Again, 17 weeks for Fantasy MLR. Don't play that last week when it comes to fantasy. Can't be getting hit with any of those odd non-starts here. So 17 weeks of Fantasy MLR ahead of us. We also got some exciting news here in our Commissioner Yee's League update. And, of course, we'll go over all the latest happenings from around Major League Rugby as well. So I got a jam-packed one in this one. Vandy, good to have you in the show. Matty, always here with you. So I know I always get
not
to
good to have me, to- too. Nah. It's not good to have me too.
It's more sentimental, Vandy. Yeah.
What the heck, Vandy? Just because I had a better draft than you doesn't mean you have to come flying at me.
Well,
right?
we're gonna get into all of that. But hey, if you aren't already, like I say every single episode, make sure you're following us at the Fantasy Ruckers. This is when we're getting into the thick of things. So you're gonna want us to follow us on social media. The handles are up above on the YouTube video, down below in the description if you're listening on the pod. Lots of updates, lots of new social media content coming down the line. Starts of the week, waiver wire pickups, team of the week, whole bunch of good stuff coming down there. So you want to keep an eye on there. If that's all not enough, join our Discord community. I mean, it's been rapidly growing with the addition of new people playing Fantasy MLR this season, which we were super excited in 2024. I think we're approaching on almost like over 70 for sure in the Discord community. So we want to hit that 100 number. So hey, join that. The link is down below in the description. And hey, we'll talk more about it. But there is a website, a new revamped website coming down the line this upcoming week. So thefantasyruckers.com. You want to keep an eye out there as well. All All the stats there from last year, though, up there still if you want to get an early little check upon before the 2024 season kicks off. But let's get into it, boys. News and notes to start the week. Preseason matches are in full swing. We finally got a couple scores, Matt, in the episode that we broke down last week. Yeah, Dallas beating NOLA 48-26. I know that was happening. Utah taking it on RFC LA. They fell in that one 7-34. And then this week had a handful of matchups. Miami taking on Life University in their first match in their franchise's history. A tie, 26-26. Seattle taking on the Canada Selects, Matt, like you said last week, kind of an expected outcome there, 54-7. Dallas taking on the New England Free Jacks. That was happening during our live stream draft on Friday. Dallas coming out with the win there, 24-22. Houston taking on NOLA in that same kind of Houston kind of preseason event, 36-40. NOLA's taking that one by 4 points over Houston. And then Utah bounced back from that loss against RFCLA and somehow take down San Diego 40-0 in their final preseason match. So kind of all over the place. The thing that I got from this, and before Maddie, I start having you break down some of this stuff, is that really you got to take preseason with a grain of salt. It's like any other sport.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be testing lineups. They're going to be playing with different looks and seeing what's going on. And I mean, there's a wide range of kind of outcomes that we've had in this this preseason here in the MLR for 2024.
I think the only thing that you should really look into it is, you know, who's starting, what the lineups are looking like. Like, if you take a look at Seattle, you can kind of look. They have a fairly, basically most of their starters are there. I think the only thing we really wanted to look at in the preseason was who's missing. Leroux Malan, we saw, is still in recovery for New England Free Jacks, so he's not yet in game shape, at least, so you don't expect to have him for next week. We know, you know, Tavita Kuradrani, during the draft, we found out that he's not even in the country yet, and he wasn't in that lineup either. But in terms of the scores, let's take it with a grain of salt. I don't think we're going to be expecting Dallas to be running the mill this year and beating New England Free Jacks. And we definitely don't expect Utah to be pumping San Diego for nothing in the season.
Speak for yourself.
But then again, you know, Joel Hodgson wasn't even in that lineup, or he came off the bench. They had Zion going starter. I think we expect Kieran McLeod to be starting. And Bailey Wilson, I believe, was coming off the bench as well. So, not much to take away other than kind of just looking at the lineup, understanding who's there and who you might see next week and who might be available next week.
Well, Vandy, it's very kind of similar to other fantasy sports, especially fantasy football. I mean, it's kind of the same breakdown when like fantasy football is going on. You have those three preseason matches. Obviously, you're not really looking at that from a result perspective, but just kind of looking at guys, getting a first look at guys, kind of similar here in the MLR as well, Vandy.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Well, I think it would be great if we'd be able to see kind of the play style that some of these games are playing. But, you know, I think one out of the seven games here were broadcasted, maybe two. I think both the Dallas and the Houston ones were broadcasted, and both of them you couldn't see a thing. So you couldn't take much out of that either. But hopefully we can get to that in the future. For now, we're stuck with things being filled on a potato.
And the unfortunate thing when it comes to preseason is there's always the risk for injury. And Vandy, again, kind of relating it back to fantasy football, there's always that risk. How many players have we had in the past where like a top pick, a first round pick, gets injured the week or 2 weeks before? You already had your drafts and you're now faced with the challenge of trying to replace the production of what you thought was going to be your all-star guy, now goes down with the injury. It's happened way too many times here in fantasy football. And the same thing's happening in fantasy MLR because one of our top picks, Joe Mauno, has been injured. Now, we don't know the extent of the injury. And again, because these broadcasts weren't played for everyone to see, this is all according to Reddit, so I don't know. But there are multiple sources saying that Joe Mauno, they did see him go down. And apparently, it was the opposite end of the field. Looked like it had something to do maybe with his knee. Again, all kind of hearsay. And they took him off the field with his leg wrapped on a stretcher. This isn't completely confirmed. Again, we don't know where these games are being, if they were able to actually see it. But, I mean, Joe Mauno. I mean, the consensus kind of top fantasy player from 2023, a lot of leagues picking him first overall this season. And again, it just kind of highlights that risk of, you know, having these preseason matches, of course, not only for fantasy MLR, but Vandy, your Utah Warriors now losing one of their best guys here, possibly for the start of the season.
Yeah, well, time to try out Isaiah Cruze.
There you go.
Hey, have the brothers on. Have the brothers on at the same time.
That's right.
Let's go. That would be sweet. But man, this is a tough blow. I mean, Ryan, you're going to go into some draft stats, but definitely there's going to be a lot of people that might have drafted him pretty high up, who had Joe Mauno, and now they're looking like, hey, what's happening here? And they're crossing their fingers, they're crossing their toes, crossing everything that they can, hoping that that Joe Mauno is sitting in the lineup next week, or at least it's nothing serious. So
yeah,
we'll definitely be looking at that. We're going to be looking at Utah's Twitter page and social media, seeing if we can catch him in any of the training photos to kind of confirm that he's fine. But I think that's going to be one of the things leading into week one of, is he in the lineup? Is he not? Is Reddit a reliable source? Is it better or worse than Wikipedia? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we'll wait to see if maybe usually like guys like Bill Ray's Rugby has signed with Brian Ray. So we'll look out to see there. James Dealey of MLR Stats may have some stuff there. So just keep an eye out on socials to see that, because that's going to be the big thing that I think league managers are going to quickly realize for those of you who are trying fantasy MLR for their very first season. Communication of league is not always the best.
A guy's going to be out for a month. And you're going to think that he's just gone. He's just been missing. And then find out in the middle, because of some random interview, that he got hurt.
Yeah.
That's fantasy MLR for you.
It's that little bit extra work going above and beyond. You know, it's not kind of like the same, I guess, through and through platform like other fantasy and established, you know, big four sports in North America. You know, when you get those notification updates quickly, you got to do a little bit more grunt work on your own in terms of make sure you're following the right people, make sure that you are keep an eye out, and we'll keep an eye out definitely for Joe Mauno as this week progresses through to see what his status is for the upcoming season. Kind of alludes to maybe some roster moves, early roster moves. If you're the Joe Mauno owner in your league, what you may be having to look at here in this first waiver wire period, which we'll get into before the season even starts. Waiver wire already getting heated up. So interesting there. Let's get into kind of some other latest news here. Rosters, squads are being officially announced. I know throughout the offseason, teams have been posting kind of guys that have been on their team, but it seems like these teams are kind of submitting their final rosters here a week ahead of their season. So make sure you're going on socials, go on the team social pages. I know San Diego.
Well, it's not even the team socials. I mean, it's US MLR that are releasing these rosters. So it's the MLR Twitter that seems to be releasing these rosters. So it seems like they're getting some sort of roster submitted by teams, and MLR is saying like, all right, as they're coming in, as they're being submitted, we're going to release them too. And that's probably a pretty reliable source there, barring any new signings like we have.
And I know that there's been some kind of surprising omissions there from some of those rosters, where we heard about signings that happened earlier in the offseason, and then you checking out these latest roster releases and they're not on there. Maddie, there was a couple surprising ones there that were to note.
Yeah, Andrew Duratalo, I know he's been part of the Seattle program and a U.S. vet. He was left out of the roster there, probably why they brought Kara Pryor in. But also, I think Nick Duffy, who was announced to be signed by San Diego, was going to be kind of him and Connor Tupai were going to be the two replacements to replace Richard Judd. But I think for fantasy managers, it kind of makes it easier for San Diego, knowing that Connor Tupai is going to be the starting nine in San Diego. But those are the two ones that I keyed on. Can't think of anything else at the moment.
Yeah, well, there are some last-minute additions also ahead of the start of the 2024 MLR season that we'll go through that happened over the past week, some of them more fantasy-relevant than others. Pita Anaiai Sue.
Nice.
That was solid.
Okay. Yeah, way to go. Good.
All right.
Like 4 out of 10.
Signs with Houston. Front row hooker. Played for Waikato in the Bunnings NPC.
Tough.
Also made appearances with Moana Pacifica, I believe. Should be interesting there. We'll see how much playing time he gets. If he's kind of establishes himself with the Houston Sabercats as one of those top guys, then we'll see. But you got Tiana Rasmus there, Seth Smith in that mix, and then now you add Pita Asue. It should be.
I would look out for him. I think he's going to be fairly fantasy relevant. I know he got drafted in our league. I don't know how many other leagues he got drafted in, but if he's available, you might want to look if you're unsure about your front row position.
And we did mention this before, but it's kind of official now. Seattle Seahawks making the announcement. Cara Pryor is officially signing with the squad. This is pretty fantasy relevant. I mean, Cara Pryor has been an established back row fantasy option in the past. 95.9 mm-hmm. fantasy points last season in the 13 matches he played in, 10 of them starts. Season high 19.88 coming with that early sub in here in round 7 with the Iron Workers. Now he joins the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, Cara Pryor could be an option there. The back row situation in Seattle is quite interesting. I mean, you have Cara Pryor, Charles Elton, you got obviously Rekert Hadding in that mix. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how that all plays out.
Yeah, it definitely will. I mean, I was saying on the stream that I think Cara Pryor mainly plays as an eight man. And they also got Pago Haini as well and Neil Moylett. So they're fairly deep at that position, and we'll see how that impacts his fantasy or where he sits in the lineup come this weekend. I imagine that he'll probably be moving to that flanker position, which I know he's played before. You're just kind of used to seeing him at eight.
A couple front row re-signings, Olive Khalifi signing with Seattle there. And then also kind of the lack of prop depth for Old Glory DC. They've kind of went into the mix to re-sign a familiar name, Quentin Newcomer, returning with Old Glory DC. Alistair Kirschpool, in one of my meetings with him for the website, actually called this. He was like, man, expect this signing to come in because OGDC has been struggling when it comes to front row depth with some of the injuries that they've been having. So Quentin Newcomer comes in for Old Glory to fill in some of that depth there. And then last signing here at the time of this podcast, McKean Alikam, back row signing with Dallas. He has experience in the Premiership, played for the Harlequins. He is U.S. eligible, born in Vancouver, but I believe his mother is American, so he has the chance to be with the U.S. side. So he joins Dallas here for a little bit of back row depth with the Jackals.
Yeah, interesting one here. Dallas is really deep in the back row. So not sure what drove this decision, but I mean, maybe they see something different. But yeah, they have guys like, you know, Geronimo Gomez-Vera, Ronan Foley, Damon Torres, lots of guys there in that back row position. So we'll see where he fits in. Right. Ryan, another one before we move on.
Yep.
I think on NOLA website, they like sneakily announced that Fenton Coleman, I forget who he used to play for, but this isn't his first time in the MLR, but he's coming back for NOLA in the back row to add a bit more depth to that back row position, I guess.
Played for Old Glory DC last year, had 21 fantasy points in three starts, 10 matches that he played in, a season high in the second row, actually, in the stretch that he started in between round 7 and 9 with around 4.7 points. So we'll see what he does there for NOLA. But yeah, I think the highlight here is just, hey, as the season now starting to kick off here, make sure you're looking at socials for the latest news. Brian Ray is a good source. At Jam Delay, MLR Stats is a good source. You want to keep an eye on some of these maybe mid-season or late last-minute roster moves that come in, and definitely starting lineups when you're starting to make your lineup decisions for your fantasy starting lineups here into round one. So it should be interesting. But all right, here it's time for a Commissioner Yee's league update.
Hey, Danny, don't you miss this?
Yeah.
I don't.
I hear it in my nightmares, man.
All right, hear ye. Here is Commissioner Yee with a Fantasy Ruckers League update. Again, we are super excited for the start of MLR 2024. First time that we've been able to expand Fantasy MLR to the masses. We got four different leagues that are all set up, finalizing their drafts here. We obviously got our main league, the Fantasy Ruckers League, that had our live stream draft this past Friday. You'll be able to kind of rewatch that if you'd like to. A nice little solid 3 hours of drafting there that was super fun on Friday. Some of the names, biggest names in the MLR community, Rugby Morning, Rugby Wrap Up, Eagles Overseas, the Rouge Rugby Podcast. Had a lot of fun with those
the fantasy boys, so Ruckers.
It's always great, the fantasy Ruckers. Results of that are in our Discord channel as well, so you want to check that out and see kind of what your team is the favorite one. I think mine's the best, but I mean, that is obviously
debatable.
All right, buddy, relax. But, you're a rookie.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, what do you guys think of your teams? What do you guys you guys happy with your squads? You guys looking forward to it? I again have some notable names that kind of panic picked the Davey Coatser pick maybe, and I'm having some maybe a little bit of regrets afterwards. But I love the LaRue Milan pick. Vandy, you know you love that guy, and I hope he can return this season. But yeah, I'm pretty happy with my squad. How about you boys?
Vandy, go first, man.
You know what? I had a tough time sleeping after not picking my boy, but
Andrew, you know, Coe.
Yeah, or sorry, Andrew Coe. But I mean, Mikey Tao, never a bad pick, but I think that's about the only one where I was like, damn, missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, we were telling you. We were telling you to do it. And you decided to ignore us. To be fair.
Wait.
What?
And
what
I didn't take a fly half early. I don't know. But that got me stirring a little bit because
you locked it in, though. You have the Old Glory DC fly half. You kind of took the approach that Matt took last year to do it with three jacks.
We all took the same approach this year. We have fly half and their handcuffs. Okay. All three of us decided to do this.
Fly halves Hokie got four.
Got six scrum halves and three of other positions. So it makes no sense.
So you know, Vandy, you know who to go to if you want to make a midseason trade here if you need a fly.
There we go.
Yeah, I guess so.
But it's true. We all took the same approach, Matty. We all got the handcuffs. So I got Houston. Yeah. You got Old Glory DC, Vandy. Matt, you got San Diego.
I'm just glad
the teams you got to be rooting for this season.
Yeah, I didn't go away from my guns. We talked about this, Ryan, in the draft preview and the mock draft. Vandy, you somehow followed it without even knowing. But center back three. That's how I was going to start the draft.
Yeah.
That's how I did it. Vandy, I think you got a pretty good one, Creel and McEnany.
I'm
pretty happy with mine, Duplessis and Balakana. So we'll see. I'm happy, but I think only time will tell. I think where you can really determine whether you're happy with your lineup or not is once those starting lineups come out.
Yeah, and that's the highlight here. Again, watch on socials once you start seeing what guys are starting, especially for this first week, because teams are going to be putting out – it's obviously going to change. We saw that last year, that the evolution of these lineups when injuries happen, new players come into the mix, different circumstances happen that obviously evolve these starting lineups, but it is a very – big confidence builder. Some of these names of guys that you drafted starting in those roles, especially when you see like a late guy that you drafted maybe after the 10th round in that starting lineup, you're like, okay, you know what, this is a solid find. So yeah, super exciting. Again, you can check those draft results on our Discord channel and let us know in the comments down below, let us know in the Discord chat, let us know on socials what team you think is the best fantasy team or drafted the best heading into this 2024 year. I know Rugby Morning John Fitzpatrick is going to come out with a ranking of the different squads.
We love his ranking.
And I know that's reflective of kind of obviously not how the season turned out last year, so we'll see what he has to say about some of these teams. So you want to check
he was right
that
on the nail on the head last year.
Yeah, with yours. He did like your team. But all right, some news that we got to come out with updates with regards to the leagues and the people participating in. The website's coming out this week, obviously ahead of the fantasy kickoff of the fantasy MLR season. We're just finishing the final touches. Myself and Alistair Kirschpool, Oddball Gentleman, the mastermind behind the website. You can see some of the latest details and hear some of the latest updates in the portion where we interviewed him during our draft live stream. He says, website's almost good to go. Just cleaning up some final things. Got our player database kind of working through here. Sign up will be beginning. So all those emails for the people that submitted those forms, those will be used to send you out a sign up form to get onto the website. And then again, once drafts are completed, your commissioners of your respective leagues will be filling out your rosters. You'll be able to log on, see the team that you drafted, and start kind of planning how you're going to approach that first week. Which leads me to this. Is that first waiver wire is coming through. The way that we're going to have it set up, this kind of week zero starting week here for waiver wire, the teams should be submitted and onto your rosters by Thursday, latest by Friday. And we're actually going to have the waivers run through Saturday morning before the matches. So you want to put your waiver wire claims in before midnight on midnight Eastern time on Friday. get those bids in, start using some of that FAB money. If you have any questions with regards to how to use your FAB, how waivers operate once you're on that website, submit a question on hashtag AskTFR Show. Get into the technical support channel if you need any help with that from the website side of things. And we'll make sure to get that all clarified before the start.
If you're a baller, you spend it all immediately.
That's right. That's what I do.
I know about that.
Hey, can we trade for FAB?
I believe you can.
Yeah, I think so. Right?
Now, all trades, I should clarify that all trades will be happening through your commissioner. So you'll obviously have those conversations with the person you want to trade with, and then you'll have that conversation with your commissioner to make those roster moves available.
What do you want,
hey, Vandy? I'll trade you 10 of my FAB for 11 of your FAB.
Done.
Seems pretty fair.
Boom. Gay Ryan, put that one in the books.
All right. Done deal. It's the American-Canadian kind of currency exchange. Yeah. Right? 11 Canadian FAB dollars or 10 American FAB dollars.
So what we're going to do, I'll trade you 20 FAB. You give me 10, and then you have to give me a dollar of FAB every week till the end of the season.
Come on now.
So I'm about that interest life. You get 20,
Interest, Vandy. I ain't paying no interest. Definitely not
Welcome to the real life. Call me the bank.
All right. Well, this is the big announcement here. This is the big one. And Matt, I know that you have been waiting for this. You've been alluding
to this.
I've been
a big proponent on this one.
The Fantasy Ruckers are joining the Daily Fantasy Game. We're having a weekly challenge here. And for Let's some go. Of you who are familiar, we had the Fantasy Ruckers playoff challenge that occurred during the playoffs where you select five guys in your lineup. You got $5 to $1 ranked positional guys. You submit a front row, second row player, a back row player, a scrum half, fly half player, a center player, and a back three player. You get those guys in your lineup. You choose that using a $15 total budget. And you see how well you can do in that week. We're going to have weekly rankings in terms of what lineups do the best. We may even in the future have maybe a little bit of a treat for people who finish at the top of the week in certain weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun stuff here. And it's a way to dip your toe into the water. If the full fantasy MLR game and you either missed it or maybe it was a little bit too intimidating to get yourself signed up for a full-fledged fantasy MLR league, this is a nice way to kind of get your taste buds going here. Get a taste of fantasy MLR through this year, and then maybe in 2025 join a full-fledged league. But we're super pumped for a weekly challenge. We'll be submitting lineups here on the Fantasy Rocker Show. We'll keep tally of who does best. We'll have segments here picking our lineups. It's going to be fun stuff.
Yeah, that is awesome. I love to see it. I think there's a lot of people out there that just can't commit to a full fantasy season.
Fantasy can be a daunting task. I don't blame them.
It is, yeah, for sure. Is. And you got to be part of a whole league and everything. Some people just want to watch and enjoy and build their own stakes by picking their own team every week. No, this is awesome. I think this is right aligned with our goal of getting more people involved with fantasy and getting more people interested into the MLR just as a whole.
Yeah, and so make sure you're looking out on socials when that's released. You'll be able to sign up on our website, be able to start creating your weekly roster picks each week. We're going to keep a tally of the entire season of how people do. So you want to hop in right away at the beginning of the year and get in on this weekly challenge. And then we'll also keep tallies, of course, on a week-by-week basis on who has the best lineup each and every single round. But it's going to be super fun stuff. Just a quick note to give a little tip to the loyal listeners of the Fantasy Rucker Show who have stuck with us to this point. The in this first week, the $5 to $1 value is going to be based on the 2023 rankings. So the top 20% of last year's rankings will be given the $5, the bottom 20%, $1, and everything in respect to that scale in between 4, 3, 2, 1. All the new players will automatically be placed at $3. So there might be some value here. Right, you might find maybe a Philippe Echeverry fly half value at $3, a Gâteau at $3 there. So a little bit of a tidbit there in advance notice before this was released for our loyal listeners to get a jump on thinking about their weekly fantasy MLR challenge. All right, well, let's get into a recap of this past week's draft because this is the first time that we've had more than one league drafting. So we've been able to pull some pretty fun tips, fun tidbits, fun stats that have happened over the course of this past week. So let's get into some of it. I think the first one, the big question here, and we kind of alluded to this player at the start, who was the consensus overall first pick this year? And Matt, when you and I did the mock draft, we highlighted and emphasized
how important.
I guess not. They just don't listen.
Don't blame them though.
To our advice.
Come on now.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's kind of a split thing, Vandy, because you got the guy here who's doing the mock draft, won last year, finished last the year before. Which side do you go? Which side are we going to get here in 2024? We don't know.
I think he goes back to the basement.
Okay. There you go. Hot take right there. But Joe Mauno was our consensus number one pick. It was the first overall pick in every single league except for our main league.
Yeah, our main league was a wreck.
Yeah, there were some interesting picks in our main league, which we'll get into. But Joe Mauno, I mean, obviously, the hype with him heading into this year with the amazing fantasy season he had last year, getting the 246.7 fantasy points, finishing as our by far, in a way, the best fantasy player in 2023. I don't blame people rolling the dice on trying to get that some of that production here in 2024. But now you're dealing with that that injury that's happened, which is a hard thing to have. So we'll keep an eye out on that. But yeah, Joe Mauno was kind of that number one guy heading into this 2024 year. And now there's a little bit of a question mark in his name. The second question that people are going to usually have is kind of, Matt, you and I both emphasized how important centers were. And how important these are guys are going to be your bread and butter. So on average, people didn't completely not listen to us. The first center taken off the board was around that third and fourth pick, averaging around 3.6 of the five leagues. The center taken most often was your boy, Matty, JP Duplessis. But what was surprising, outside of the rankings, Billy Meeks, a lot of hype around Billy Meeks, was actually taken higher than Dan Creel in a majority of draft. Despite I know on my top five, Dan Creel was ranked above Billy Meeks there. But I think there's a sentiment here, Matt, you can let me know if you agree, that the ceiling for Billy Meeks is much higher. We've seen him reach the epitome in 2022, was the best back in the MLR. Struggled a little bit about Chicago, but there's a lot of confidence here going into what should be an improved Chicago team heading into this 2024 year, that Billy Meeks adds a little bit more oomph than the consistency of Dan Creel.
Yeah, no, this situation is perfect for Billy Meeks. I mean, he's on a better team, same team, but they're improved. He's starting the season, at least as far as we know. He's there. He's been in training, unlike last year. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a perfect scenario for him, and I'm looking forward to seeing him kind of go back to 2022.
Yeah, should be interesting, Matt. Vandy, you drafted Dan Creel in your draft. You feeling comfortable with Dan Creel though? I know for me at my pick at number five, I was kind of debating like Dan Creel, Billy Meeks. I knew I wanted to take a center, but I think that was to my sentiment. I think Billy Meeks has a little oomph. Gave the opportunity for Dan Creel to fall all the way to you, who could finish the way. I mean, his consistency last year was fantastic. You got to be pretty happy that Dan Creel fell all the way to you. And I know there was a homer pick that you were keeping in mind. You were lying Joel Hodgson being a Utah Warriors fan, but I think you made the right fantasy decision there.
Yeah, I wanted to lock down the center position before I took the fly half. I thought, you know, in drafts you get a little greedy, you know, especially when you're at the late end or late end of the first round. You know, I was 9th out of 10th pick, so I thought I could get Joel in the swing around. Didn't happen, but no, by no means am I upset about Dan Creel. Yeah, I would have took Billy Meeks if he was there. Definitely would have took Joe Mauno if he was there, but no. Him and then I was pumped. I still got a Utah guy at the end of it, Caleb McEnany, so.
Let's go.
Yeah, worked out. All right. So, and then the question relies. So, we talked about also back row players, Maddie, in our mock draft episode about how they're kind of the forward version of the center. Just so much points coming from there with the tackles, the potential for meters gained, and things like that. And an interesting note was the back row on average was taken around the 6th, 7th pick, averaging 6.4 in all the drafts. Vian Conradi was by far and away the top guy that was taken off the board. Finished off as our back row one last season. I know there's a lot of hype with Rekert Hadding heading into this year because of the try potential he has and just the difference maker he has shown to be in the fantasy circles in the past. I believe one of our leagues had Rekert Hadding going higher than Vian Conradi, but Vian Conradi, there's just a lot of confidence behind him about kind of the stability he has in terms of the stats that he provides.
Yeah, I mean, not just the stats, but also the team that he's on. I mean, Rekert Hadding's on a great team as well, but Vian is kind of like, he's a no-brainer at that position simply because he is the guy and has been the guy there, and there are no questions. He's one of the guys that's like, there are no questions with him, along with availability he's shown in the past, that his availability is definitely an ability of his.
All right. And then the next question that it kind of goes into is then, when does that turn happen? When do you start taking players outside of the back three center back row positions? When do you start looking elsewhere? The production might not be as high, but some of the advantages that you get from having one of the top second row players, one of the top front row players, the best fly half, the best scrum half, when does that turn typically happen? So the first one I want to get into, because I think this was the interesting one, was second row players. Sam Gala was by far and away the best second row player. So it's not surprising to see that he was really up there. And he the average league pulled the trigger at around the 21st pick. So around that third round was when the second row was when that was going to get changed. I know that's very similar to what our mock draft was like, Maddie. And of course, like I alluded to, Sam Gala was that player that was being taken. The advantage that he provides at that position versus every other second row, even Johan Mumsen, who we have as our consensus number two, Matt, Sam Gala provides just such a big advantage. It was worth taking, at least to our league members, that that draft capital in the third round for a second row player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100% agree. I think third round is about right. And Vanny, you're nodding your head to that too. I think that feels about right to me. And then I think that it seems like in most cases, Sam Gala kind of triggered all the other non-vital or like the less scoring positions to be drafted.
Yeah, that was kind of like the marker. Like that's when I start to see like a run of like fly halves go, scrum halves go.
Scrum
halves, you know, they're like as soon as that that Sam Gala got taken, and then we'll get into it. As soon as that first, especially when the first guy of that position got taken, that's when people started to get it on their mind. Like, oh crap, like maybe it's time for me to pull the trigger, even if I'm gonna pay a little bit higher to get a guy to just guarantee yourself and, at that.
And I actually think fly halves, and I guess we'll get to this stat, or maybe this is gonna allude to it, but fly halves are kind of, they're almost put up there with the back threes and the centers. Mm-hmm. Simply because, not because they're fly ass, but because they're kickers.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw them taken a lot early than the second row, the scrum halves, and the front rows of the world.
Let's get into it, Matt. I mean, fly halves were taken around that 9.6. So right around that first row turn was when we saw fly halves get taken. So 9.6 was the average. Joel Hodgson was the by far none the top guy that was taken in every single league. I mean, the consistency he showed from the boot mainly with the Utah Warriors last season. Vandy, you had him in 2023. And I mean, it's just so nice having a guy that you can rely on. You just auto put that guy as your kicker.
Yep.
You auto put him in your fly half spot, and you're guaranteed to get a solid amount of points from him.
I'm kind of surprised there wasn't anybody who thought Jason Poitras might have been that number. Like, that was kind of surprising to me, but it's hard to question after Joel Hodgson had the season like he did last year.
Yeah. And again, that's when that kind of that wave started happening, like you alluded to, Matt. Like, as soon as Joel Hodgson was taken off the board, that's when you saw guys not too later, a few more picks. Jason Poitras was taken about three picks later in our league. Philippe Echeverry. And I know for me, like in our draft, when I saw Hodgson, Poitras, Echeverry all get taken in that second round, that's when I was like, crap, like that maybe made me panic pick the Davey Coetzer pick, because I was just like, okay, I don't want to be left
without one.
Fly half. And that's kind of why, because I know for me there, I was like debating, should I go the top back row and stay with your sentiment, Matthew, there about having one of those better back row guys. I was really thinking of picking Jama there of Old Glory DC, but I just didn't want to lose Davey Coetzer there, at least the guy that has shown in the past that he could be a solid kicker. So
hey, we're risk takers, Vandy.
That's right, buddy. Always happen.
Happens. And maybe that's the rookie nature of the commissioner, the supreme commissioner, taking part in the first time in the fantasy ML or our league. Well, let's talk about
that voice position. Kick up too.
The witch?
You hear his voice kick up too?
The voice kicked up the minute he heard Supreme. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this guy.
Shoulders went up a bit.
The people are talking.
The head grew a little bit. Oh, yeah. How are you going to make it out of your studio door there, Ryan?
Dude, you got to get
just called yourself that.
I haven't left.
Yeah.
I've been in my studio the whole time because
that's like 4 weeks of calling yourself that. So that's a pretty long time to be stuck in.
I get food put under the door for me. It's the start of fantasy MR season, man. I'm stuck in here just crunching pancakes. Out stat numbers and just thinking and dreaming.
You're stuck in there just growing your own head, calling yourself, writing it on the board, Commissioner, Supreme Commissioner Yee.
Yeah.
Supreme Commissioner Yee.
Ryan's got to get a ring, man. And then he just goes like this and it says, kiss me.
What can I say? That'd be add to the mix.
Oh, maybe you should win. Maybe you got to win a round first before you can even think about getting the ring.
We'll see how that first round goes. And then just talking about some other positions here that were kind of same sentiment, especially from the second row spot. I'll kind of lump them together. Scrum half was taken around the 27th pick, 27th, 28th pick. So usually around that fourth round, fifth round kind of area. Surprising here, though. J.P. Smith was not the consensus scrum half taken off the board. We had two of our leagues pick J.P. Smith first. Danny Tusitala was actually picked first in two of our leagues. And then Thomas Cubelli, which I kind of understand that one. But surprising for me, Tusitala picked as the first scrum half off the board. We've seen the potential. Obviously, in 2023, he was the first nine off the board because of that kind of X factor he provided and the amount he plays. But I don't know. I just don't agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ceiling thing, though. It's the same as similar to Billy Meeks, not the same situation. But, yeah. You know, 2 years ago, he was the top scrum half, undebatably. We saw him drop off last year, and you kind of think he's got to come back to form at some point, and his ceiling is definitely higher than J.P. Smith.
And then kind of the last position that people are probably thinking about is the front row position. That was selected around that third, fourth round turn at 24.4. Dylan Fawcett was the unquestionable number one off the board there, which is not surprising. I mean, Dylan Fawcett does Dylan Fawcett things. Obviously, there's some new names in the mix this year. But, I mean, we saw what Dylan Fawcett was with the New York Ironworkers in 2022. Even on a down season in 2023, he was still the best front rower. Very, very confident pick there. It was just, when was that turn happening? And people felt most comfortable, I guess, in that third round pick to get the best front rower that gives you such a big advantage.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised there. I mean, we're going to see him do Dylan Fawcett doing good old butcher things this year, I'm sure.
But as we wrap it up and start heading into our round one preview, kind of some fun stuff here, at least in my opinion, kind of the most shocking picks that we've had throughout all of our leagues. I guess we'll start with it, Maddie. I think the most shocking pick in all of the happened in the Fantasy Record League by Rugby Wrap Up. I guess Matt McCarthy, looking at some, trying to find those New York Ironworker ties, goes with Dan Hollinshead.
This had to be
third overall pick, and he's not even one of our commenters on our live stream even said he's not even a sure thing to be the starter there for RFC LA down in California.
Yeah, this is the worst pick of fantasy MLR history by far. 700.
I'm not saying nothing, because so many times I've watched sports shows where these guys say this stuff, and then at the end of the year, you're just eating humble pie.
Yeah, why don't you grow a pair then, Vandy? Because this is a worse pick.
But as I'm getting older, I'm starting to grow less, okay?
I don't know. In what world do you see Hollinshead starting over? I mean, even if he does start over Chait.
Yeah. George Chait had a sick year, though.
There is still Joel Hodgson. There is still Poitras. There is still Felipe Echeverry, who, there's unknown.
True.
But, man, there are so – if you needed a 10 – and you wanted to draft a 10 first, there are so many options that you could have picked ahead of him. This was awful and clearly a very much homer pick. And I'm not surprised of who picked it.
Well, shout out to Rugby Wrap Up in their second year of Fantasy MLR. I like it because it made me get, I'm sure you liked it, Matt, because it allowed you to get JP Duplessis, allowed me to get Billy Meeks, and probably Vanny for you. It ended up allowing you to get Dan Creel there in the end, too. I mean, Hollinshead going ahead of Vian Conradi, Rickard Hadding, Joe Mono, Aina Futi, all these guys. It's pretty incredible to see. Again, and then the second one in our public leagues there, I would say the most shocking pick that I saw over all the leagues was actually Stephen Lowen's league, our community moderator. He made the pick of going with Devon Rousseau of the Seattle Seawolves in that first pick the sixth overall.
This is up there. It's pretty bad too.
New fullback and back three there for Seattle. I mean, he went ahead of Reichert. He went ahead of Andrew Coe, went ahead of Aina Futi, Vian, Creel.
Is this the one he was doing the same time as ours?
Yeah.
No, I mean, he made this pick. He had plenty of time to make this pick. I saw that come down the wire and I was pretty shocked.
I mean, this one's a tough one. I don't know. He's listed as a center by Seattle. And you look at the center room, you got Tavita Lopetti, as we've been corrected. You got Tavita Kurajani.
Yep.
You got Dan Creel. And it doesn't even stop there. I mean, like, he's the fourth center in that lineup.
And even if you maybe start some back three games, like, I mean, even that's a room that's you got Ina Foodie, got Connor Mooneyham, you got the new guy in
Tony Pulu, Duncan Matthews, Jade. I mean, yeah, it's that one's a tough one, but hey, at least Stevens basically taking shots. He's got two chances to do well in some sort of league. He's really good at the toilet bowl, and I have a feeling that he's going to make his way back there this year too.
The fact that he got Joe Mono in the first round of our league, and now he's potentially questionable for the start of the season with the injury that he sustained. Again, not confirmed, but it's not looking great.
Hey,
and then starting off with Devon Rousseau, who knows?
Like Vandy said, are we all going to eat our words by the end of the year?
No, are you going to eat your eyes? I
heard you say a lot of crap about him offline. Just before we got on, you said a lot of crap about these picks. I heard it.
Hey, behind closed doors, nothing's on record.
I feel like, hey, that's the great thing about fantasy MLR. You could have so many perspectives, so many hunches, so many thoughts, and at the end of the day, they could all be wrong. You could be very right, and nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows
before the season starts.
I will say, though, I'm feeling a little bit more confident heading into this year than I did last year.
Brian, you didn't even play last year. I don't know what you're talking about. Of course you weren't confident going into last year.
From a ranking standpoint, like, I feel like we're not going to do as bad as our predictions last year.
Oh, we're going to do just as bad. I don't know what you're talking about. We're going to do just as bad.
All right, I'll speak for myself then. But hey, like we like to say in fantasy sports, though, guys, the leagues are not won at the draft. It sets the foundation of your team heading into the year.
Yeah, and some foundations are shaky.
You're going to need to go in there. You're going to have to watch your lineups. There's going to be shocking lineup starts that you're going to see. The waiver wire is going to be hot to start off the first few weeks. You're going to want to keep an eye out. A big example is the Joe Mono pick. I mean, if Joe Mono, if they figure out that he's not good to go for a handful of weeks there, I mean, going in and trying to pick up that next back three starter guy, he's going to be a huge waiver pick. If that's Isaiah Cruze, if that's another guy, like, just getting some of that production there is going to be big time. So again, that first waiver wire period is going to go through on Saturday morning. Get your bids in to kind of shore up your
put it all down
lineups. Again, I don't know if I would follow that advice.
Spend it
all. But,
especially if you're in our league.
Keep an eye out on
bid
that.
High. Bid high.
Wait for starting lineups to come in. Once you see those, start making some of those bids. And that might be the
maybe, Ryan, as you're setting waiver wire, to give some real advice, just remember, this is the MLR. We are going to see signings coming in later in the year. Do you want to save up, have money left for those big signings? Do you care? Do you think, hey, I need to get to the playoffs to be, even have those signings make an impact for me? You got to figure that out, but just know that in Fantasy MLR, we will have some midseason signings that may blow up the waiver wire.
And it's that interesting kind of game, and it happens in every fantasy sport, where you're kind of weighing and tiptoeing that line of, is this the opportunity to spend all my fab right now? Yeah. Or am I waiting for this hypothetical thing that's going to happen in the future?
The way I like to put it down is
it's similar to, you know, Tay Walden coming in halfway through the year. He didn't show up as up, or who's the other guy that showed up for the New York Ironworkers in their championship year?
Back
three player.
Yeah, I know exactly you're talking.
Who is that, Maddie? You know it. Played in Super Rugby.
I forgot.
I know you.
I forgot.
Okay.
But what's
it called? It's similar to that happening in the middle of the season, the same way as, let's say, Christian McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor going down midway through the year and picking up a Zach Moss and going in there and picking.
No, but this is – I don't – fantasy MLR is a whole other beast. This is different from all fantasy sports. And we don't have to – this is not what we're – we got to get into the previews. But this is what makes fantasy MLR unique. Because you have, it's not like injuries you're waiting for. It's not performance. And you're literally expecting these teams to make
a big
bombshell
signing
in the middle of the year. Yeah. Like, it has happened every year so far. And you just kind of expect it. And you got to decide whether you want to spend it all in these first 3 weeks. And I'm sure we'll get into these waiver wire segments after the first week. Or whether you want to save up to ensure that you have money to account for that.
Yeah, no.
And just a reminder to the new people too. Whenever your guy gets injured, there needs to be proof that he's injured. Some kind of thing from the team. You can't just say, I watched him get hurt. It needs to be something substantial before he can go on IR.
Like this, you're not trusting the Reddit guy.
Yeah, exactly.
As Joe Mano being eligible for the IR.
Exactly. And so that's what makes it tough. You might not even know until the day of where Utah goes to play and Mano's not on.
Yeah.
And even then, they might not release what happened.
That's a great point, Vandy. It's just, and it sucks sometimes. It's sometimes bites us in the butt sometimes, but it's just got to keep a level of consistency.
Yep.
Especially with how fantasy MLR is, with kind of the lack of communication that happens right now.
Yep.
Sometimes it may be so clear as day that guy's injured and we know he's injured. There just hasn't been any information coming out. And I don't want to leave that decision into my own hands.
Yeah.
I want to allow it to be in the kind of the ethos of the information that comes out. So whether that's Brian Ray, Rugby America's new America's Rugby News, or the team themselves.
Yeah.
Once we hear something. And usually Brian Ray or America's Rugby News comes out with like a weekly kind of a recap of the week and usually has some of those injuries denoted in there. So we usually keep an eye out on that. But again, post in the MLR injuries channel in our Discord, say, hey, this is the article. Hey, this is the post that shows our injury, and we'll get that guy on IR right away. But that's kind of the way that we keep it consistent here when it comes to fantasy MLR with kind of the early stages we are in with Major League Rugby and the communication that happens with regards to some of these roster shifts. But all right, well, hey, let's get into it. I mean, round one is here, boys. And I mean, I think the big sentiment of breaking down this first week heading into fantasy MLR is clarity. Just figuring out who these starting lineups are.
Yep.
We're going to see it for the first time when it actually has an impact and actually has some meaning here on what guys are going to really be starting. That week two waiver wire, I think, is going to be heading into week two, that waiver wire is going to be pretty good in terms of some of these shocking lineup starts. So that's, I think, the big sentiment here and kind of the theme that we'll take as we're breaking down these games. But we're also going to keep track here, boys, of who are picks here for every year. And we're going to keep a tally of that throughout the season. So hey, make sure you're making your picks correctly here between Maddie, Vandy, myself. We'll see who comes out at the end with the best predictions in terms of who wins out right here. So let's start off with the earliest game here to kick off the 2024 MLR year. NOLA Gold at home taking on Old Glory DC on Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern time. This one should be a fun match. I mean, a lot of optimism heading with this NOLA Gold team, Matt. You've talked about it a lot, about how this team should be doing better. Old Glory DC had a pretty solid season last year. It should be a pretty even keel game. I'm excited for this one to kick off the year.
Yeah, it should be a good one. I'm looking forward to just, like you said, seeing the starting lineups for these three. A couple big things that I'm looking forward to. NOLA Gold, how are they going to use the likes of Ed Fido on their team? How are they going to use that backline in general? Because they have a pretty strong backline. And then with Old Glory DC, the big thing, I think the question's at number 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as well as what does that backline look like? So we'll see. Definitely a good way to start off the weekend.
Yeah, should be interesting. I'm excited to see Rodney Iona and to see if maybe he can bounce back and see kind of the production that he has. Again, Jason Robertson, Graydon Bowd type battle there, like you said, Matt. Yep. Andy, I know you'll be watching that pretty closely, owning both of those guys. I'm excited to see the production from the back row of Old Glory DC. I mean, we've been pretty high on those guys, Latara Bavaro, Jamison Fa'anana Schultz, guys there that should do pretty well. And then we get to see one of the best centers in all of fantasy MLR, and that is JP Duplessis. Do JP Duplessis
things.
Yes,
sir.
And we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I think the big thing there too, me especially being an Ed Fido owner, I'm excited to see kind of how he enters the mix there in terms of now being in the gold and white versus being on the New York Ironworkers and coming off of a down year when in 2022 he was by far none the best fantasy player, which should be interesting.
Baller.
So time to put your money where your mouth is. Maddie, who you got in this one?
NOLA Gold.
NOLA Gold for Maddie. Vandy, who you got?
Something in me.
Who you got?
I'm going Old Glory.
You're going Old Glory. All right. I'm going NOLA Gold in this one. So Vandy, the lone OGDC for Vandy. So it should be interesting. Coming up in 4 hours after that on Tuesday, Houston Sabercats taking on your Utah Warriors, Vandy, at 8 p.m. Eastern time. This one's going to be a fun one. The Houston Sabercats are explosive. They've done, they have a lot of great players there. Utah, obviously, big question mark is going to be seeing whether or not we see Joe Mano there. Yep. But to get to see Joel Hodgson, some pretty big fantasy producers, Kayla McEnany in that mix too. This is another pretty even keel matchup that had their battles last year, and now they kick off the 2024 year doing the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think Houston has a lot more questions from, I mean, yes, Joe Mano is a big question, but I think Houston lineup wise and fantasy wise, there's a lot more questions that you got to ask yourself. Who's the starting hooker there? What does that center starting pairing look like? Is Dom Aquino coming back? They brought in Tua Tagovailoa. Sam Hill's there. Lourdes Vanderskiff is there. Who's going to be that starting center there? Who's going to be the starting nine? But I think the big question, and the big question probably, Ryan, that's on your mind, is AJ Alatimu or Davey Coatser. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How does that look? Is it a 10-12 combination? Or is it one of the guys coming off the bench, which I don't think will be good for either of them. Yeah. But yeah, for Utah, less questions. I mean, Utah, their lineup is fairly similar in terms of big guys to last year. Vandy, correct me if I'm wrong, but like
just other pretty than, much Clive and Laubser.
Yeah, exactly. But like you have Joel Hodgson, you got Caleb McEnany that's going to be starting there.
Yeah.
You got Joe Mano, hopefully is okay. Hopefully. And you still got the likes of Mika Cruze, Paul Asike, and stuff like that. Yeah. So
Cruze times two, you know?
Maybe Cruze times two.
And I'm excited to see Kieran McClee to see what he does with the Utah Warriors. He was obviously a guy that was kind of slept on in our drafts in terms of if you needed a starting nine. I think there's a little bit of uncertainty there. But now coming out of the shadow of John Poland from New England, coming over to Utah, we'll see what Kieran McClee does, because he was pretty fantasy productive when he was on the field last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a guy that I shout out. Kieran McClee, look for a fairly big fantasy game for him. If he's starting, Nick Sushon as well, Joel Hodgson, and I'm gonna throw in Michael Manson as a guy that maybe you can look at if there's injuries to Joe Mano. A guy coming from New Zealand, new signing, is quick, played in the preseason. Maybe look at him as a potential new starter there. And then on the Houston side, I mean, I love me some Christian Dyer and Jerry Labuschagne.
Yeah, and I know. But I
actually think Peter Asui might be a big one here to play if he's not already drafted in your league.
And you're right, Matt. I think most of the lineup questions are with the Houston Sabercats rather than the Utah Warriors. There's a lot of unknown that we're going to find out this coming week. And yeah, I mean, being an AJ Alatimu and Davey Coatser owner, I'm fingers crossed. I am hoping for a 10-12 situation and not a 60-minute 30-minute.
I don't know, Ryan.
Here. That's going to be tough if that's the case. But all right, prediction time. Maddie, Houston Sabercats or Utah Warriors?
Yeah, I'm going Houston Sabercats.
All right. I'm going Houston Sabercats. And Vandy, I can only imagine and predict what you're going to do.
He's not even a Utah fan.
That's right, baby. Utah Warriors.
Utah all the way. All right. So Vandy Len, again, going the lone wolf here for the two matches. And let's go into the second and final match of the Saturday, 10 p.m. kickoff for the Seattle Seawolves and San Diego Legion. This is my
match of the day. Match of the weekend.
Match of the weekend, I think. Yeah, 10 p.m. This is going to be fun. The Western Conference final from 2023. Again, a lot of questions to be answered here. The Seawolves, who's going to be starting at 10? Mac Mason, Sam Windsor. We're going to find that out. I know the sentiment has changed there a little bit with you, what you're looking at there, Maddie. And then San Diego Legion, obviously losing Nate Oxberger, losing Richard Judd. Are they going to be the same San Diego Legion side that we saw last year make the final with some key players now leaving the mix?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a really good match, and this is going to be a chance to see, like you said, whether San Diego is the same team with the loss of, you know, pretty big loss of Richard Judd. I have a couple guys here. I think we'll see a big game out of Fouti, honestly, and Duncan Matthews. I like them. Dan Creel, I think, especially with some of the uncertainty there, he is the one certainty at center. They're going to rely on him for sure, especially the fact that we don't think Kurt Kurdrani is going to be there. And on the San Diego Legion side, I mean, the big question is who's starting at 10, similar to some of the other teams as well. But Aoaki, I see a pretty big game from him. I'm trying to look at what other players we might see a big game out of. Connor Tupai potentially as well. But it'll be interesting to see that lineup get out. Oh, Greg Peterson. I think he's going to have a big game too.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that's the biggest question for me is the 9 and 10 situation in San Diego. Who's starting at 9? I can imagine we're going Connor Tupai, but what does that look like? And then obviously the talk all offseason long has been the addition of Matt Gaiteau and then Lincoln McClutchie, who we've been very high on, but now you got both of them there. The sentiment feels like that now Matt Gaiteau will be starting in that space, which is interesting to see. And then, I mean, the reason why we're so high on Lincoln McClutchie was because of just what he was able to do in the NPC Bunnings. And you bring in a guy like that to just sit on the bench, it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that dynamic works out. Match of the week, no question.
Yeah, and if anybody is saying that Gaiteau has played 12, Mananu will not be moving out to 13. Just he won't be.
Yeah.
And he will not be moving out.
And we talked about this, Matty, is that Gaiteau is pretty old now. I don't think he wants the, smoke that 12 brings in terms of...
I didn't say it, Matt. That wasn't me.
All right, well, let's put the money down. Matt, who do you got in this matchup?
Yeah, I'm going Seattle for this one. I think San Diego's going to have to take some time to find their form here.
Yeah, I'm going Seattle as well in this one. Kind of same sentiment. Vandy,
be original once in a while.
Seattle.
You're going Seattle too.
You too, Vandy.
Seattle off the board in this one.
Dan Creel's going to put up a game.
This is going to happen. The same thing, because we said the same thing last year at Western Conference, where we all picked Seattle over San Diego, and we ate our words, I'm pretty sure, last year.
I picked San Diego for sure.
All right. Well, let's get into the next first matchup of the Sunday, the Miami Sharks taking on the Chicago Hounds, 5:30 p.m. Big. Eastern time. This one's another interesting one. Obviously, a lot of optimism with the Chicago Hounds coming in. Miami Sharks, brand-new franchise, a lot of hype around them with some of the players they have. Some pretty cool names. Obviously, the big thing will be the Chicago Hounds players. Billy Meeks, seeing what he's able to do, if Chicago is going to start performing, seeing Dylan Fawcett now in that mix with the Chicago Hounds, it should be really, really interesting to see in terms of that. Lucas Rumble now in the mix, a lot of new names here with the Hounds. And then when it comes to Miami, there's been a lot of international guys that we've been looking. Thomas Cubelli, first scrum half off the board in our fantasy Rutgers League. Is he going to be the best nine coming in? Philippe Echeverry, he was taken pretty high. I think this is just the theme of this one, just new faces in this one, and you're gonna get to see in the fantasy circles how these guys are gonna do in these kind of new spots.
New faces, talk about a new team. This is the first chance you're gonna see Miami and MLR, so this is exciting for me. Yeah, I think you named a lot of the guys. Felipe Echeverry, Thomas Cubelli, Nick Grigg, I see is having a pretty big week.
Marcos Young, Thomas, watch it.
Book. Yeah, Marcos Young potentially as well. Eric Naposki, I like in the back three as well. Thomas Inquiarte. So we'll see. And this Miami team is going to be interesting in Chicago. Billy Meeks. I mean, I think he's going to have a big game. Nate Oxberger is going to be fun to watch. I think another question is, where does Dave Carney? Is Dave Carney in the first week lineup? Yeah. The Flint Tropics, Jackie Moon owner player. We'll see where he fits in. And I'm looking forward to it as well.
Fly half situation too with Chicago. I mean, they have Luke Cardi listed.
Well, that's it.
That's all they have. So
that's all they got. Going
to be their main guy. I don't know. We'll see.
Luke Cardi, which is unfortunate for them. That might be their crux.
Their kryptonite. Yeah, might be. All right. Miami Sharks or Chicago Hounds, Maddie.
Dang. Now we're getting into tough ones. I'm gonna go with Chicago Hounds.
All right. I'm going Chicago Hounds as Vandy, who are you going here in this one?
You know what? Give me Miami. Let's go.
Let's go, Vandy.
First time on the pitch.
Ryan, are you going to pick someone? Maybe you should pick first, and then I'll pick next one.
Well, I feel like next one's pretty easy. I think I know what you're going to be picking on this one, but we'll get into this one. Anthem.
You're a big Anthem guy. Come
Carolina.
Big Anthem guy.
Taking on the New England Free Jacks on the Sunday at 7:00 Eastern time. I mean, what a match to start off your season here for the New England, the 2023 MLR champion.
Yeah. You're
taking on the side of basically that everyone is not even thinking they're going to get one win this year. Maybe we're downplaying them. I don't know. But
start this season with a dunk on you.
Like. I am playing every single one of my New England Free Jacks players. Yeah. I think Poitras is going to have a huge week. I think Vian Conradi is going to have a huge week. And even your kind of Mitch Wilson, I think your kind of edge lineup guys are going to have big weeks too. I am playing every New England Free Jacks player against first match against the Anthem.
You better hope LaRue Milan's in, man, because you could feast.
Yeah, I don't think
with the amount of yards he gets, man, it's great. Or meters, it's crazy.
I mean, this is a perfect way for LaRue Milan and the New England Free Jacks because they don't have to start their best guys.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they don't need LaRue Milan coming out of week one.
So what you're telling me, this is a perfect way to rest. Holden Younger at scrum half? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I don't know about that. Holden Younger is a pretty good spot on that bench. But,
keeps it nice and warm.
Yeah, he does. But yeah, no, this is going to be – I'll be interested to see what this New England Free Jack lineup looks like. I'm sure they're going to play a lot of their top guys. And I'm definitely on board with kind of playing all the New England Free Jacks. So I don't even want to really talk about them. But for the anthem, I think this is a really good, I think I'm looking forward to seeing how they go. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I do think that it's going to be similar to when New England Free Jacks played Toronto last year. It's going to be an absolute butt whooping. But Tangaratiro Waitokia, I'm looking forward to see him. I know, Rugby Morning, you know, Fitzy was pretty high on David Still as well. And I would love to just see how Jake Turnbull goes. I mean, Jake Turnbull was their big signing, and I would love to kind of see where he's at and how he fits into this roster and just, like, what level of play these guys are going to do. We have a sense right now, but we have no clue until we actually see them get on the field, and they might surprise us all.
All right, I'll go first. New England Free Jacks.
I'll go second. New England Free Jacks.
Way to go. I'll go third. Like, yeah.
No, do it.
Oh, do God. It. Oh, I thought you were gonna.
You did say three wins, Matt. Maybe this was your first win. Come on.
No. Not this one. Yeah. Not all this right. one. This isn't where they'd get it.
The last match to round out round one. This one's a pretty tight one as well. I think both these teams are gonna have interesting looks. But RFC LA taking on Dallas Jackals at home to start off their franchise, 10 p.m. Eastern time on the Sunday. Dallas Jackals, they've always, the sentiment around them has always been, okay, when are they gonna make that next jump? Are we going to see Sam Gola kind of do Sam Gola things at that second row position? You got Thomas Kubia coming in, who was fantasy relevant towards the tail end of last year, and now he has a full season ahead of him here. It'll be interesting. And then LA side, obviously, a bunch of familiar faces in a brand new place. We get to see Andrew Coe, Jordan Chait, Will Leonard, Jason Emery, James Stokes, Matt, that I know you've been high on, and get to see from that standpoint. So this one should be an interesting one.
Yeah. I think this is kind of like the best way that RFC LA or whatever the heck their name is to start the year against Dallas Jackals. But let's not underestimate this Dallas Jackals side too quickly. We'll wait till week two to do that.
Big win in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, but who cares? So, I like the Dallas Jackal side. Not as one. That's not my pick yet, but I'm just saying I think guys like Tommy Milanos are going to do well. I'm interested to see how Ronan Foley fits into this lineup. I think if he's starting, he's going to do really well. And then when you get to kind of the LARC, I think we got to shout out Andrew Coe. I think he'll have a big week. That question at 10. Obviously, we made jokes earlier about Hollinshead not starting, but we really don't know. We really have no clue. And I think we're also going to see kind of quickly what we can expect from this RFC LA side. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, should be an interesting one. Again, it's kind of that question, I think, to what you said, Matt, about how this is a pretty optimal matchup for RFC LA to start there.
But also for Dallas.
But also for Dallas. And we'll see who kind of makes that first jump up. I'll go first here, Maddie. I'm going RFC LA in this one. Got to side with some of the talented names on there. I'm excited to see if James Stokes starts. I'm excited to see what Will Leonard's able to do. Andrew Coe, like you mentioned. Jordan Chait. They just seem a little bit more established with some of the names that they have, which gives me a little bit more confidence into this last matchup against the Dallas Jackals.
Yeah, fair pick, but I'm going to choose Dallas Jackals.
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, I think they're going to get off to a start, a good start. They've come off some big wins in the preseason. That's got to be good for, you know, maybe not
at least morale.
Mean much. Yeah, exactly. Maybe it doesn't actually mean much in terms of performance, but morale-wise, they got to be coming off hot, feeling good, coming into this week of training, being pretty excited. I think they get, you know, probably their first season opener win in franchise history this week.
You know what? I'm just a big believer in growing pains. You know, any new team, I think is going to go through them. And yeah, I never had them growing up, but no, I just think, you know, you got to knock the rust off a bit when you're a new team like that, new members, you don't really know what to expect. There's going to be a lot of changes in positions and all that. So no, I think Dallas got a nice matchup here.
half of the matchups this week have a new team in it, which is exciting for the MLR. Well, hey, a full slate of games here, three on Saturday, three on Sunday, all 12 teams playing to open up the 2024 season. Should be a lot of fun, a lot of stuff. Again, like we said at the top of the preview, it's all about clarity. It's all about finding out and discovering which guys are slotting in where, and you're going to really find out the value and whether or not your draft dictated that. And some guys to look out for as well when it comes to some of the waiver wire pickups.
I'm going to throw two waiver wire pickups for people on Saturday. Depending on the news about Joe Mano, you got to see. But let's look at Michael Manson and or Spencer Jones, depending on Spencer who they Jones, decide to throw on the wing and who where Kruse is. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many drafts Spencer Jones got drafted in, but if he isn't, might want to look his way. Another guy is John Powers on Old Glory DC. You're looking at that Damian Hoyland is probably not going to be there for the first week unless something changes. Could be a nice little pickup if you or not John Powers, sorry, John Rizzo on Old Glory DC. Got that one wrong. But John Rizzo on Old Glory DC, he could be a nice little play. He's a big winger and has always kind of had very, very explosive spurts that help him in the fantasy realms from on occasion. So he might be a nice little pickup there.
All right, well, keep an eye on those two names. I'm sure there'll be a lot more of them as the week kind of plays out and we start to see starting lineups come in. Hopefully they come in earlier than Saturday, and you can kind of put some of those claims in based on some of those starting lineups. Again, we'll do our best to try to post those in the Discord channels to keep all the league managers as informed as possible. But hey, make sure you're also doing your homework as well. Just follow those important social media channels, the teams, everything to get your best edge here before the 2024 Fantasy MLR season kicks off. Well, we're here, boys. I'm super excited. My first time partaking in it. It's time to get on a good foot. Fantasy matchups will be coming out when the website release comes out. So it'll be interesting to see whether or not we play any of each other.
Vandy, if I'm playing against you, you are going to get absolutely shamoked.
No, buddy, I'm going to work you, and you're going to have that bag back out week one.
Yeah, you're going to work yourself right to the out column, pal.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing it and also getting that first weekend with all the different fantasy managers, getting to try Fantasy MLR for the very first time. Going to be super fun stuff. Make sure you keep an eye out at the Fantasy Ruckers on the socials for starts of the week, potential waiver pickups, and also that weekly Fantasy Ruckers challenge that is going to be happening. You'll want to take part in that as well, so keep an eye out for news and information on that. Anything else for the people, boys? Vandy, Maddie.
Nope. Peace and love. Good and luck. Watch me dominate.
Okay, relax. Right. Good luck, everybody, especially to the new fantasy managers and rookies to Fantasy MLR. And definitely no good luck to you, Vandy.
I don't need your luck.
Fighting words to start off the season. All right, for Matt Yee, like for snake. Devin Vandy Vanderpool, I'm Ryan Yee, and we'll be back next week for another episode of the Fantasy Ruckers Show. Good luck to all.
Let's go.
You've been listening to the Fantasy Ruckers Show, bringing fantasy rugby to the masses, covering everything rugby from the MLR and beyond. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review, and be sure to tell all your friends. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, connect with us on social media at The Fantasy Ruckers. Till next time, this is The Fantasy Ruckers Show, signing off.